When we choose love and compassion, we create connection. In my Life and Laughter podcast, we find ways to choose love over fear. I'm your host, Perry Kinder. Welcome back to my Life and Laughter podcast. I'm so glad you're here today talking about how it's not your job to fix everything in life. When my girls were little, I had four daughters, still have four daughters. When they were little, they'd fall off their bikes, or they'd fight with their friends, or they'd fight with each other, or they'd get in trouble at school. And I was always there with a Band-Aid or a hug or a talk with the teacher to help them solve any issue that came up. I was there constantly, letting them know I was in their corner. But as they got older, their problems got bigger, because that's just how life works. And I quickly found out that so many problems couldn't be fixed with a Band-Aid or a stern talk with a teacher. Have you ever had someone come to you with a problem that they're facing? It might be a family member or a friend, and you immediately know what they have to do. They're having trouble with their marriage. You know, get a divorce. He was a scumbag anyway. Just get rid of him. Having trouble with a teenager. They need to go to counseling. They need to get all kinds of help. If they're having financial problems, troubles, you tell them to start a business selling pine cones from their backyard. You just jump in with solutions whenever somebody comes to you with a problem, because you always know exactly what they need and how to fix their problem. But do you? We can so easily see the answers to someone else's problem, but guess what? You don't have the answer to someone else's problems because you are not them. The answer might seem obvious. It might seem easy. It might seem like the most rational path for this person to take, but it's not your path. I often feel like I have a double whammy. I am a mother, and I think mothers tend to be fixers, and I'm a life coach. So I'm trained to help people solve their own problems. It's supposed to be my job to help people solve their problems. And at first I thought it was my job to solve people's problems for them, whether that was my kids or my clients. But that's where I was absolutely wrong. It is not my job to solve anybody's problems except my own. It's my job to help people find their own answers. And that means giving them space to feel strong emotions, to deal with difficult feelings, to listen to their own intuition, and to learn how to feel their own guidance system. And that's really hard for me to do. I just want to fix it all. I want to solve all the problems and right all the wrongs and do all the things to make everybody's path easy and joyful, with rainbows and sunshine and singing raccoons and dancing puppies. I have to remind myself all the time that it's not my damn job. And watching the news really exacerbates that feeling. You know, there's so much going on right now where people are suffering. So much tragedy, so much grief, so much loss. And it can become overwhelming to me to think that I have to solve that problem. And it's not my problem to solve. Not at all. I've had several situations come up in my life, maybe in the last year, that I was so sure I could fix. I was so sure that people would just listen to me, just listen to the words coming out of my mouth, that everything would be fine, that they would fix their problems, they would go on to become millionaires or happily married or whatever the situation was. If they would just listen to me, their problems would be solved. Here's an example. My husband was really struggling in a job. It's a job that he had looked forward to. It's a job that he'd wanted for a while. And it turned out it just wasn't a good fit for him. It was making him miserable. He was staying awake at night, worried about this job, worried about doing it wrong, worried about the ramifications of doing it wrong. And he dreaded going to work like I dread going to the dentist. He was so unhappy and he was so angry. He was frustrated and he wasn't always fun to be around, but I'm not either. This story isn't about me. Anyway, I told him I had to fix this problem because I saw what it was doing to his psyche. And I told him, just quit. There's no job worth being this miserable. Just quit. And he kept telling me, you know, Perry, it's not that easy. I said, yes, it is. I argued with him. Yes, it is. You walk in, you kick over a few chairs, you yell some swear words, and you turn in your letter of resignation. Simple, easy. And he kept telling me, it's not that easy. But in my mind, he was wrong. Just plain old wrong. So he stayed with the job, even when it was hard, and even when he was unhappy, and even when it was really creating a lot of strain and stress in his life. Because it wasn't until he decided that he needed to leave, that he was able to make that decision. Because when it was the right time for him, he did quit his job. Even then, he wrestled with it because he loved the people he was working with. He liked the idea of what he was doing, but he knew when his soul couldn't do it for one more day. It wasn't up to me. It was never up to me. It was up to him. I could have nagged him for 20 years, and I've got a pretty good start at that. But until his intuition told him it was time to move on, he wasn't going to quit. I can't feel someone else's intuition. That also is not my job. If you've ever been trying to solve a situation in your own life, and you have so many people giving you their opinions and their advice, you know, you should do this, you should do that, it can be overwhelming, and more importantly, it can drown out your own inner voice. People need quiet space to work through tough times. So when I see my family members struggling, my heart breaks. I feel helpless and hopeless and frustrated because I need to do something. I've offered to hire assassins or bankroll an identity change and move to another state. I've stayed up late worried and stressed and wondered how I'm ever going to fix the problem. I've tried to figure out how I can raise thousands of dollars to give to someone I love to help them with their situation. But here's the lesson I keep having to learn, and I keep having to learn, and I keep having to learn. It's not my problem to fix. And that's not meant in a callous sort of way, like saying, meh, that's not my problem. It's a very literal thing to say. It is not my problem to fix, because I can't fix it. Recently, there was a situation with my grandchild that left me just heartbroken. This grandchild was so sad, and I felt worthless in the ability to lift that sadness or ease his burden. And as I was lying awake at night, just making myself sick with worry, trying to figure out how to solve this problem, how to make the world turn correctly and make everything easy for this child, I heard a very distinct voice in my head. And that voice said to me, it's not your job to make this person's path easier. This person is on his own journey. Your only job is to love this person. And I started to cry. First, because it wasn't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear the answer of how I could fix it. Second, because that stupid little voice was right. And third, because it was such a relief to be able to lay that worry aside, even for a moment, to put it down, because it wasn't my job to carry it. You think of the hero's journeys, the story of Hercules, the story of all these heroes that had to go out and face their own monsters, their own demons, their own challenges, their own obstacles, and all these things that are thrown at them, and you think, how do they ever keep going? They keep going because that's their path. And every monster they defeat, every obstacle they overcome, every step they make forward takes them further on their journey, building their strength, their character, teaching them life lessons that me jumping in to fix things would never get them to where they need to be. Imagine if Hercules' mother had jumped in to save him from all the monsters. He would have learned nothing. He would never have been a hero. And I'm sure she would have tried if she could have. It's not my job to fix it. It is my job to love the person on the journey. I just love this quote from Oprah Winfrey. She said, I know where my lane is, and I know how to stay in my lane. My lane is evolving the consciousness of people. That couldn't be more well stated. It's my job to stay in my lane. At the same time, it's my job to hold space for a person. If they come to me with a problem, it is my job to hold that space for them. It is my job to be heartful. It is my job to listen. It's my job to make sure that the person talking to me feels seen, feels heard, and feels validated, not validated. I don't know what that means. It's not my job to fix it. So here are some warning signs that you're jumping into a situation with your Bob the Builder toolkit and your attitude thinking, I'm going to fix this all, and when I'm done, everybody's going to be right as rain. Because when you find yourself doing these things and it takes conscious awareness to realize that you're doing them, you need to back the hell up because you are out of your lane. So here's something. You spend a lot of time worrying about how you can fix another person's problem. I unfortunately do that a lot. I'm trying to let that go. And it is a process. It is a practice to first realize I'm in that state of fixation. And it's also a cycle of stupidity because I'm not fixing anything by worrying about another person's problem. Second, you think that you have this magical power to make everything right. Again, that is just not true. You are not somebody's fairy godmother. You are not somebody's magical elf flying through the windows. You are a human being, and you have the power to do very little in this world for other people that way. Third, you feel like someone else's success or happiness or journey on their life path is your responsibility. It's your job to make your spouse happy. It's your job to make your child happy. It's your job to fix their problems. It is not your responsibility to do any of that. You can obviously offer help if it's something within your capability and if it's something that's necessary or needed. But for the most part, it really isn't your responsibility. Number four, you think if you can just get ahead of the situation, everything will be fine. If you're the kind of person that tries to foresee the future and try to fix things before they happen, and if you worry about all of it, then it's all going to be fine. First, it'll make you nuts. It'll make you bananas. Second, not possible. So worrying about getting ahead of the situation and preventing calamity will only destroy your psyche. And fifth, you have forgotten that it is their journey and not your journey. Because the magic here is that people can often solve their own problems. They might need guidance from a coach or a counselor, but by learning to trust their own heart and their own intuition, that is a skill that they will use for the rest of their lives. If you jump in to solve a problem for them, you're telling them you don't know how to listen to yourself. You don't know how to fix your own problems. You don't know how to trust your intuition, or even that your intuition isn't worth trusting. You're telling those people that, and it's not true. You're insinuating yourself into a situation where you want to be the hero, but it's not your hero's journey. It's theirs. So instead of doing those five things I just mentioned, here are some things you can do when someone comes to you with a problem, and instead of jumping in with a list of solutions, here are some things to do instead that will make people learn how to develop their own skills for solving their own problems. And maybe you'll sleep a little better at night. First, don't tell anyone what to do, even your spouse, even when you know the answer. Don't do it. Keep your mouth shut. Second, don't be judgmental. We think if we can see an obvious solution to the problem, that obviously their perception is wrong. Their situation is wrong, And if you make people feel like they're being judged, that will shut down any communication immediately. Third, when someone's telling you what's happening in their life, do not jump in with a story from your own life when you faced a similar situation. Don't do it. Don't turn the focus onto you. They came to you to be a sounding board. Don't be a talking board. Four, thank them for talking to you. Thank them for trusting you. Let them know that you are a safe place to come to. Next, you can ask questions. Ask questions that might help them change the way they see a situation. You can ask questions that maybe they haven't thought of. But again, you're not offering solutions. You're asking questions. Six, you're going to ask how you can support them. What is the best thing that you can do for them that's within your power? And they might say, solve the problem. Give me $1,000. Buy me a new car. Pay my rent. And your answer is, no, those things are not going to happen. But I can love you. And I can be here for you. And I can offer you a cookie. And I can offer you a hug. Number seven, ask them what they think they should do. If they're in a relationship situation, they don't know what to do, say, in a perfect world, what would you do today? Ask them what they think they should do and have them listen to that voice that's talking to them. Number eight, you're going to validate their concerns. They came to you with a problem. Do not minimize that problem. Even if it seems like a small thing to them, it might be insurmountable. Do not make them feel belittled, make them feel stupid. You're going to validate what they say and understand this is a hard decision for you. And I'm here while you work through it. And number nine, give them true feedback. You can say things like, you are so strong. I've seen you face such uphill battles with grace and kindness. You can trust yourself. You can trust your intuition. I admire your courage. I admire your heart. You are not alone. You are so deeply loved. I love this quote from Justin Patton. I need to have it tattooed on my arm so when I reach out to solve somebody's problems, I will see these words. Your value does not come from having all the answers. Your value comes from being able to use your presence to make people feel less alone in the world. How beautiful is that? Use your presence to make people feel less alone in this world. Another quote I love, and I don't know who said this, it's not your job to fix me, it's your job to hold my hand while I fix myself. So when people come to me for advice, for guidance, just to talk, it's not my job to fix them, but I can hold their hand while they fix themselves. I can do that. And I'm trying to get better at that. And I offer sincere apologies to those who've come to me to talk, and I've tried to fix it for them. I'm sorry that I didn't hear you. I'm sorry if I didn't validate you. I'm sorry if I tried to fix it for you. I want my loved ones to know they can come to me. And I won't jump in and try to steal their experience, that I show up with a big heart, with open arms, with a box of tissue, with a shoulder to cry on, that I will hold space for them, a loving, bright, light space where they can work through their own problems, follow their own journey, and I will keep my damn mouth shut. That's my promise. Thank you for listening. Go out there and love the world. We can't love it enough. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day.
To continue your journey toward love and connection, follow me at Life and Laughter Coaching on Instagram and Facebook.